Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in, because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips, because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Well, it's week 15 of the golfing year, and we're back live from the Australian Golf Centre, home of Golf Australia and the PGA of Australia. And what a show. It's Masters Week, and Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen are just a little bit excited. We're here thanks to the team at Ping. They'll help you play your best. Make sure to see your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting. It's one of the best things you can do for your game. How would you like to win a spot playing in the LIV Pro-Am in Adelaide? Visit golfclearanceoutlet.com.au and check out GCO Live. But hurry, entries close this weekend. Okay, let's go. Nick O'Hearn with his Ping cap, Mark Allen with a Tara Edie cap. This is the most listened to Australian golf podcast, Talk Birdie to Me.
Welcome to Masters Week, folks. It's exciting. It is everything that happens in the world of golf right now, all points to first round. Nice to see you, Nicholas.
Great to see you too, Mark.
Can we just start off with the drive and chip and putt competition that Augusta puts on every year? That has just gone to completely new levels. Can you imagine, like when I was a little kid, I was pretty nervous teeing up in the Wednesday comp for the first time, you know, when I joined Huntingdale Golf Club. Can you imagine being a 10-year-old and rocking through the Magnolia Lane and having to show your wares in front of a big crowd and in front of some pretty big names who are there to watch it all? And they're, you know, Bubba Watson's around, and it's just, you know, it's mind-bending to me.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And the opportunities that these young kids get. I mean, when I was growing up thinking, watching the Masters on TV, I was thinking, oh, I'd love to get there one day. But, I mean, I'd never thought I'd get there as a 10-year-old.
Never.
I mean, that's incredible. And then you watch some of their swings.
Yeah.
I sent you a video of one of the girls' swings. And, I mean, chiropractors around the world are just, you know, licking
rubbing their hands together.
Unbelievable. And did you know this, by the way?
Yeah.
The guy who won the Texas Open, Akshay Bhatia, is the first drive, chip and putt participant to now play the Masters.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, he played the inaugural one 10 years ago, and now he's going to the Masters. Can you believe that?
We're
going to
talk about the Texas Open. That is on the list, because what happened there was remarkable. I also want to say that in the Ping Global results a little bit later, we'll talk about the Women's Augusta Championship, the Amateur Championship, which just goes from strength to strength as well. A lot of good things happening. A lot of people smiling. Augusta makes you smile. And later this week, we're also going to have an Augusta special with Simon Clark, who is caddying for our amateur participant, Jasper Stubbs, who won the Asia Pacific Amateur Championship. So I'm really looking forward to that.
There's nothing like Masters Week as well. The build-up to it, the media, they just go nuts for the first, you know, there's the big countdown of days. It started about 100 days ago, countdown to the Masters, and now we're in the week itself. How good.
Tell us about the first trip down Magnolia Lane. Who was in the car with you? Who did you bring along for the ride? I reckon that would have been one of the most special moments in your career.
Yeah, I think my wife Alana was with me. We might have dropped the kids off at the daycare.
Yeah.
You know, just went in there to register or do all that. But I actually went the weekend beforehand just to make sure I got a good look at the golf course before everyone got onto it. And it was just, it's such a special drive, you know. And the thing is, what is it, Washington Drive?
Washington Drive.
Washington Drive is the street.
One of them, yeah.
And you drive into Augusta and you go, really, is this it? As in the town itself. Yeah. It's not the nicest town to look at. But once you see the water tower on the right-hand side and then you come to the gates, which is a bit, you know, it's just sort of hidden. You don't really notice it too much. And then you turn in there and you've got the Pinkerton guards and you show your credentials and they kind of give you a bit of a once-over thinking, haven't seen you before. And then you drive down and then you see the clubhouse. It's actually smaller, I guess, than what you actually think it might be. It's the first time I ever went to Graceland. I thought that was going to be massive, but it's actually
small.
It's not that big a house.
No, yeah. What a letdown.
But there's no letdown at Augusta because it sprawls out over this incredible property. And the first thing I did was obviously walk into the clubhouse, get my credentials and everything, and walk straight to the 10th tee, no clubs, and I just walked the back nine. I wanted to see it.
So I heard you mention this before, and I wanted to ask you, from that first walk around, did your perception of the golf course and the way to play the golf course, did that change very much versus later on in the week when you'd experienced the place a bit?
The first time I walked it, it was everything I was hoping and more. The biggest thing which everyone talks about is you cannot believe how steep the hills are. Yep. I mean, walking down 10, you almost got to feel as though you got to balance yourself walking down that fairway. It is so steep. Get into Amen Corner, into that back section there, that's just magical. You just sort of sit there and you can't hear anything, especially the weekend before. And I think walking the golf course, the one thing that really struck me was they have these little nuances, and again, I might have mentioned this before, but the first thing I noticed is every fairway they mow back into you. So the grain runs into you so the ball doesn't go as far off the tee. And then every pine tree on the side of the tee shots, they take out the inside limbs, so they all lean inwards. So it actually is a much narrower trajectory that you have to hit the ball off. Once it gets past the initial pine trees, then it widens out. It's a very spacious golf course, but you can take out a tree or two off the tee if you're not starting it on your line. But and then the other thing is it just plays much longer than the yardage, especially for me.
When you say plays much longer than the yardage, is that because of the thick air or is it because of the mowing of the fairways back into you?
Very much that for me, yeah. I mean, I just couldn't get it far enough on some of the holes to take advantage of them. So, I mean, holes like 9, the par 4 running down the hill, ball just wouldn't run that much down there for me because you're into the grain, whereas most of the long hitters, they're carrying it all the way down to the bottom or most of the way down and they have short irons in. I'm trying to hit a 4-iron off a downhill lie to an uphill green. I mean, good luck. So hitting that green in regulation was a victory for me.
And look, my observation, because I've been there about 15 or 16 times. I had a business taking people to Augusta for a long time and commentated there once for Channel 9 in 2002. So I've been there a lot. But my perception from the wrong side of the ropes was that they were really small greens. Now, does that match up with the way you remember playing it?
They were I didn't notice that they were that small. There was a couple which are very shallow. I mean, 7's a great example of that. 11, you can't believe how, 12. You get onto that green and you go, wow, okay, now I know what everyone's talking about.
What about 8?
8, the
par. Before the par 5, 7.
7, that's the one up the hill. Yeah. But they've lengthened that a lot. See, when I first played, it was probably about 4.10, 4.20, but even looking back when I used to watch it in the 80s and 90s, you'd think, oh, guys were hitting 2 irons off that tee wedges into the green. I was hitting driver maybe 6 or 7 iron into the green, and now the longer guys are probably doing that because they pushed it back to 450 or 60, I think, and that second shot is pretty much straight uphill, so you don't actually realize that as well.
Did you catch the final 9 holes of the Texas Open?
So I drove back from our place up near Cathedral, and guess what? I put that app on that you were telling me about.
Yeah, the PGA Tour app.
The PGA Tour app, and I hit the audio, and it was fantastic.
It is good.
And I started, it was fairly early when I drove back, and I think they were on the 12th hole.
Yeah.
and Denny McCarthy had made a 30-footer to start the run.
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
So, McCarthy, just so if you haven't heard the news, McCarthy is what? He's about four or five shots back, something like that, starting the back nine.
Mm.
He had a pretty, you know, inconsequential front nine. He had one birdie and no pars. One birdie and no bogeys. And then he's birdied 10, par 11, and then birdied the last seven holes. He shot 28 on the back nine. And here is this, you know, young kid who left school early, was homeschooled. You know, parents just tried to pencil him all the way to professional golf from a very, very early age. He's trying to win this tournament, not only to get his first win, but also to get into Augusta. And I just can't imagine winning the way he did. He ended up having to hole a 10-footer on the last himself for birdie. So he found he was behind. He led the whole week.
He led for 71 holes.
And finally, on the 72nd hole, after watching another birdie go in, seven in a row, he has to hole his 10-footer and it goes right in the middle. I mean, he couldn't have hit a better putt. Yeah. It was a kind of a free hit birdie because, what's the other bloke's name? He hit it into the water.
McCarthy.
Yeah. McCarthy.
Imagine making, but that's the stupid part about this game. You make seven birdies in a row and then you lay the sod over one and you fat it in the water and make double on a playoff. But, I mean, Batia, he must have been thinking, what have I done on the way to the golf course here? Because he had a six-shot lead on the 10th tee, shot two under the back nine, and had a putt to get into a playoff on the 18th
hole. Hard to comprehend. What did he shoot the last day, five under?
He shot 67.
Shot 67. So you start the day with a three, four, five-shot lead, something like that, shoot 67 on a golf course that's pretty difficult, and been playing difficult all week, and you end up in a playoff. Yeah.
And, you know, third was Rory, and he was nine shots back.
That's
so
it
was a complete two-horse race. But Batia became the youngest wire-to-wire winner since Spieth at the Masters in 2015.
Yeah, I saw that.
I heard that stat, and I thought, wow, this kid's something special. But you mentioned before, straight out of high school, everyone else, all of his contemporaries go to college. He says, no, I'm turning pro.
Yeah.
And it took him a few years, but that's his second win, and he's only 22 years old. He's thin as a whippet.
Yeah.
I love him because he's left-hander, obviously. He's actually the only other. He is the only other left-handed tour pro using a broomstick that I've ever seen, other than myself. I've never seen another left-handed tour pro use one.
Yeah, there's a few, but there's one more similarity. He's old school like you.
I love it.
He's ball back, lean forward, hit down, take a divot. He's the whole lot.
Well, I was listening on the radio, and I know he had to have some key up and downs. I haven't seen them, but they said he hit some great chips to save some pars when McCarthy was just on his birdie run.
He's up and down on 16. That's the green with the bunker in the middle.
Yeah.
He hit it to the right, hit this beautiful, aggressive, hitting down on the ball, old school Nick O'Hearn style. hit that one beautifully on 17th hole. He drove it into the fairway, the greenside bunker. Got up and down beautifully as well. And then hit another gorgeous wedge on 18 to set up his 10-foot birdie go after he saw the other birdie going.
It's a fun finish there. And it's a Greg Norman design golf course. As I played the tournament many times, they can stretch it out to over 8,000 yards, the golf course, if they want. They don't. It's probably about 7,700 yards.
Still miles long.
Still miles long. It's actually the site of where Kevin Na made his 16.
That's it.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I was playing that year. He made it on the ninth hole.
Yeah.
He got lost in the trees up there, and there's no way out of there because the trees, it's just, you can't, you got to try and come out sideways.
But he kept trying.
It's a maze. It really is a maze. But the other thing, did you see, I was watching the third round, your Texas Tech buddy, Ludwig Åberg, hit driver on 17.
To 10 feet.
The head popped off. Yeah. I've never seen someone hit it on a par four with the head coming off.
Yeah, and a good shot.
It was a great shot.
He had a 10-footer for eagle.
Yeah.
So I've watched it a few times. He had a sawn-off follow-through.
Now, because it got light.
Do you reckon that's what
it is? That's what happened, yeah.
Okay.
It changed the balance of it.
Okay.
He's kind of followed through, and then all of a sudden you can see him snatch at it.
I thought maybe he's had a real short follow-through driver swing because he had to take something off it, perhaps.
Well, he might have.
No, but I didn't know. I was going to ask you, which one do you think it was?
I thought it was because the head came off. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And you can sort of see his reaction in the replay. It was something pretty cool. The other thing, did you see Rory had a lesson from Butch earlier in the week?
I wanted to talk. It's on my list.
It's on your list.
It's on my list.
Have you noticed something in his pre-shot routine now, which is still driving me nuts, by the way?
Well, I haven't seen it.
He's copied my waggle.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
that. He's got a waggle in the pre-shot routine now, but he's still taken 5, 6, 7, 8 looks, and it's still driving me nuts.
Yeah, it is. But he's done it the right way. A lot of people, I reckon, until you've pointed it out, a lot of people used to do that, break the shaft higher or on a steeper angle without the shoulder tilt. Now, Rory's a good exponent of this, and we saw it with Kazuma as well, Kabori. Not only do they do the waggle where the club gets tilted up and more steep, they also do the shoulder waggle, which you invented. So you've got Kazuma and Rory on track. Imagine if Rory McIlroy completes a career Grand Slam this week at Augusta because of your shoulder tilt waggle.
I don't care about the shoulder
tilt. You should
tilt.
Send it to him. You what, should.
All as I want him to do is when he gets over the ball to take 3 looks, no
That's
more,
That's
and
it.
Then fire. Because these 6, 7, 8 looks at the target, he's losing his athleticism. I've mentioned it before on the pod. Someone needs to mention it to him. He does it with the putting. I mean, he's worked with Faxon with the putting, and he only takes 2 or 3 looks with the putting.
Mm.
But with his full swing, my goodness. And I mean, and he's so good already. Imagine how good he could be.
He's got the 2 best coaches in the world, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Butch, although I think Butch to look at your game and Brad to look at your putting.
Well, Michael Bannon or Gannon is his normal coach, but I think every once in a while he has a bit of a checkup.
What a great relationship that is to actually just to pop in and pick Butch's mind. And Matt, that would be such a nice thing to be able to do every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just to pick up the phone, hey Butch, I'm in Vegas. Would you mind just watching me hit 30 shots, please? See what you think.
One last thing on that Texas Open.
I've got one more after you.
Okay, Denny McCarthy. We'll go back to him for a second.
Yeah.
A phenomenal putter.
Yeah.
How many putts do you think he had for the week?
Under 100.
Yeah.
How many?
I think it was 97.
97
putts. So that's averaging 24.25.
Fixes a lot of things, doesn't it? 24 putts around.
That'll help you shoot 20 under. The other thing I heard was he was number one strokes gained tee to green on Sunday. Obviously, when you shoot 63, that happens. Yeah. So,
are you both fans of the movie Moneyball?
Oh,
I am.
Incredible.
It's
so good.
If it's not my favorite movie, it's number 2.
Billy Bean,
what a man, changed the game of baseball forever. And the Red Sox ended up winning, breaking the curse of the Bambino because of the stupid book that they all read.
So a little inside information here for you.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, you like the inside info?
I do.
Billy Bean was a very big, not follower, but a lot of his methodology he based on my next door neighbor in Orlando, Florida, where I live, a guy called John Hart. Who was the general manager for the Cleveland Indians, the Texas Rangers, and then he helped rebuild the Braves recently.
So in the movie, I'm just thinking, Moneyball, were they in the Cleveland Indians?
They were for
managers for a little bit.
Mark Shapiro was the GM,
and that's
Cleveland.
That's where he got his second GM in charge from. He traded him.
What was his name?
Pete
Bender
Pete'll
or
do.
Something.
Pete'll do. Anyway, I look at our Texas Open champion Bateo. And I reckon if golf was a team game, he would have been overlooked by scouts for a long, long time. I just think that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look at him, he's too skinny. He's left-hander. Sorry, Nick.
hang on a second.
So
apologies to everyone out there.
Skinny. He's too skinny. He left-handed, long putter, wears glasses. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I watch him. He was homeschooled.
Yeah.
Right? There's a question mark for me.
Okay.
He didn't go to college and test himself out there. That's a question mark for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reasons why this kid, in my stupid scouting eye, and think the slightly balding scout from Moneyball who thought he knew everything but didn't want to listen, that's me.
Okay.
Because I'd look at that kid and I wouldn't pick him based on so many things. Yet he is on that US Tour, winning a Texas Open, fending off a 28 on the back nine. That's hard. That would be hard mentally.
Yep.
Mentally, you think you deserve this tournament standing on that 10th tee on the last day. You've done it all. You haven't cracked. You're still miles in front. And then he fended off a 28. He fended off. Yeah. He hit the hole a birdie putt on the last.
Yeah. And he put his shoulder out, I heard.
It just shows you why golf is the best game.
Yeah.
It is the greatest game. Because what number you shoot is the number that you are measured against versus everybody else. And I just love that.
Well,
I reckon Craig Stadler, I would have moneyballed him out of the competition as well. I would have moneyballed Craig Parry out.
Yeah.
There's a stack of golfers. I would have moneyballed you out, Nick. Sure. I would have moneyballed everybody out.
In the famous words of Tom Brady's father,
yeah,
they couldn't measure the size of his heart.
There you go.
So you don't know what people have internally. And you never say never in any sport as to their physical as opposed to their mental attributions. Yeah.
And before we go on, we should issue a formal apology to people who wear glasses, to people who are thin. there's a raft of apologies. We'll list them all on the website.
Left-handers.
Yeah, left-handers.
Okay. Using a broomstick.
But I'm the stupid, slightly balding guy who told Billy Bean to go F himself. Is that right?
Yeah,
he did.
I'm that guy. Yeah. I don't know anything. Last one before the turn.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the Live versus US Tour feast that's going to be rolled on social media for the next 7 days? I'm not. I just want it to go away. I want it to go away. I don't care who wins, whether it's a Live player or a US Tour player. Yeah. Why do you think the petty stuff is still there? I don't get it.
Oh, it's the dollars and cents, isn't it? That's where it's all come from. And the media love to obviously play that card. I think the players probably don't care about it as much, but I still think there is something there.
Yeah.
I still think there is an us versus them type mentality between the Tour and Liv, obviously. And maybe it's, you know, from the Liv side, it could be Greg Norman driving that sort of side of things. From the PGA Tour, it could be Rory or Tiger. See, he had a practice round there on Sunday, by the way. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes this week.
I know we've got a top five. I want to ask you about a golf course design feature I saw this week at Texas. I want to ask you whether you're for or against it. But I also want to ask you your tips for Augusta.
Ooh.
We'll do that shortly.
Okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Mark, I've been saying for years that Ping help you play your best, because that is exactly what they've done for me throughout my entire career. And now I've been having a look at the new Blueprint S and T irons, and boy, they are impressive. So much so that I've got the new Blueprint S irons in my bag at the moment.
So what do you like about them so much? I mean, I've never seen you this excited about a golf club.
Well, I could go through the specs, which are exceptional, but I won't. I will say, though, that if you're looking for more ball speed, and if you want to lower your scores, if you want to mix and match and still look great, you should check them out. Because the new Blueprint S and T irons, they are definitely worth a look.
Nice.
Just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting.
Hey, Nick, I know you've heard of the Watch My Numbers app. It is brand new, and it is going to dominate the golf app scene for a long, long time. If you want to improve your game, you need to know the areas you're doing well in and where you need to improve. And this app will tell you exactly that, Nick.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mark. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world, and it helps analyze and improve your game like never before, because it uses real-time data from your rounds and highlights the areas of your game that you want to look at.
You get actionable and usable info in minutes, not hours. That's really important. It's easy to use. You can set up your profile very quickly. I've done mine. And start accessing data and subscriber-only content straight away.
Hmm. Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at people who want to improve their game. It's for all levels of every golfer out there. Particularly powerful if you're a mid to low handicapper. But it's great for the elite level and pros as well.
So elite and pros as well. I like that.
Watch My Numbers. Download it from the App Store and turn your bogeys in the birdies.
Thanks to Ping, they'll help you play your best. And the Golf Clearance Outlet, who searched the globe for golf's best deals. This is Talk Birdie to Me. Now back to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
Listen, there'll be some people out there wishing they had a Palmetto cheese disgusting sandwich that you can get at Augusta.
Pimento.
That's the one. If you're over there, don't get a pimento cheese sandwich. It's disgusting.
Why? What's wrong with it?
It's the most disgusting cheese I've ever tasted in my life.
It's okay.
And it's just got a couple of pieces of white Wonder bread smashed on top of it. And you're supposed to eat that. It only costs $1.50.
You're at Augusta. You have to have it. And no. The other thing you got to have when you're there is the peach cobbler, I think it is.
Peach cobbler's nice.
Amazing dessert.
Peanut butter and jelly. I know jelly's jam.
Yeah.
When you were there, because it sounds weird to Aussies, right? Yeah. Did you ever eat that?
No, never. It's disgusting.
Sounds awful.
I've always just been a peanut butter guy. My daughter, my kids had it.
Right.
They loved it.
Crunchy or smooth?
Oh, I'm always crunchy.
Good man.
Yes.
Good man.
No Vegemite over there? Did you make Vegemite toast?
Hate Vegemite. Cannot stand it.
Right.
Yeah, Vegemite, Promite, all that stuff.
I'm just going to put a cross next to your name.
Oh, come on.
But he gets a tick for crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah. Even Stephen.
If you have smooth peanut butter.
Even Stephen. Hey, just before we get to the top five,
yeah.
16th hole at the Texas Open Golf Course. Yep. Forget the name of the course. Who
TPC
cares?
San Antonio.
There is a bunker in the middle of the green. Now.
Correct. I've been in there.
Have you?
Mm.
I would like to think that if I ever designed a golf course, I would find space for a bunker in the middle of a green somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't think it would happen on par three, because I think that's just ripping off what they do in California. What course?
Riviera.
It's a rip-off.
Yep.
But I think I would do it on a par five. What do you think about a par five with a bunker in the middle of the green?
Yeah, I'm really not a fan of bunkers in the middle of greens. That's my initial thought. I was thinking about doing a top five on it, but I can only think of two. The one in San Antonio and the one at Riviera. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, what are we doing? What's the top five? Hang on.
Top five.
Well, in honor of the Texas Open and the dramatic finish, especially by Denny McCarthy, makes 7 birdies in a row to finish and then knocks one in the water in the playoff.
What a loser.
What a...
sorry, Denny.
It was disappointing, but we thought we'd go with top five finishing shots in the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
But by the way, Denny McCarthy, that's the best back nine I've ever seen in my life.
Shot 28, 8 under.
In a PGA Tour event.
Yeah.
Ridiculous what he did.
To not win is also scary.
So he's not a loser, folks. No. Okay, he's not a loser.
Well done, Mark. Good clarification there. So top five final shots in the water, but there is one where it's actually not a shot, which, you know, it's sort of throwing the... But anyway.
That could be.
And that is my number five, but it is to one of our greats here in Australia.
Okay.
Kari Webb, 2006. Kraft Nabisco Open, a major where she holed a wedge. Do you remember that? Where she holed that wedge.
To get into a playoff with
Lorena Ochoa, and then goes on to win the playoff. And then, as the tradition is there, she jumps in the water. So thought I'd throw that one in there for something different.
It's a nice quirky one.
Mainly because I couldn't think of another one there.
Yeah, so good. That's good.
We were going through things. Number four happened earlier this year at the Dubai Invitational, where Tommy Fleetwood and Rory McIlroy, coming down the last hole, all tied up. Actually, no, Rory was one in front, from memory, in front of Fleetwood. And he took about 11 looks over the ball. This is my look thing again.
That's right.
And he snap hooked it in the water, makes bogey. Fleetwood makes birdie, wins the tournament by one. So that's my number four.
Nice.
Bit of a disappointing finish there for Rory. I think there was one of the players in a playoff at the 17th, but I can't remember who it was, so I'm not going to worry about that one. Number three was still at the Players' Championship. You should probably remember this one. What's the most famous shot on the last hole that's gone in the water, do you think?
On 18. It's Adam Scott.
There you go.
And he went on to make bogey and win.
What did you think of the drop? Generous?
I think it was hooking. I'm going to give it to
As
him.
As an Australian? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was hooking.
I think it was hooking. Yeah,
I don't think it was a pull. I think it was a straight pull.
I thought it might have been a little further back, but we're giving him the benefit of the doubt. And it was a great bogey nonetheless to go on to win. So well done to Scotty.
It was a great putt because that putt breaks the wrong way. Yeah. It breaks away from the water. It was well read and well hit.
About 8 to 10 feet too.
Yeah.
He had a good little bump and run up the hill there. Very good bogey. Number two happened at the tournament where we're going to be this week at the Masters, 1990 in the playoff, second playoff hole, Nick Faldo versus Raymond Floyd. And Raymond, steely-eyed Raymond, for once flinched.
Yeah.
He pulled it into the water. I don't know what that pond's called there, left of 11. I'm sure it's got a name. You got Ray's Creek behind it, I guess. But
don't know
what the name of that one is.
If there is a name, and we don't know between us,
please.
We should hang our heads in shame.
Yeah. I'm sure there is a name, and I'm sure our listener Well, let us know. So anyway, that is my number two, Raymond Floyd, 1990 at the Masters. Pulled that one in. And number one, it's very hard to go past this. He's in the top five, or number one of a lot of top fives. 1999, Carnoustie, the Frenchman, Jean Vandervelde, when he knocked it in the burn. I remember how the ball was sort of above the water for a while, yeah. And Craig Parry, who was playing with him, sort of said, I think you might want to hit that, the tide's coming in, or yes. Words to that effect.
No, he said, if you wait about an hour, the tide will go out, so you'll be able to hit it.
Well, that's my number one of balls in the water on the final hole, and sorry, Denny, but I couldn't resist.
Hang on a second. 11th hole pond, Augusta name. Hang on a second. 11th hole. The hole's called White Dogwood.
Yes, correct. After the flower.
Ray's Creek in front. Prior to 1950, Ray's Creek ran in front of this green. It was replaced by a larger hazard in the form of a current pond.
Yeah. So it's not part of Ray's Creek. I know that. No. It's separate.
That's disappointing. It doesn't say. I don't think it's got
it
a name.
It should have a name.
It should be called Raymond's Pond.
Yeah. Floyd's Folly. Yeah.
Floyd's Folly, Raymond's Pond.
Yeah, something like maybe. That. Well, if you've got a good name for the pond in front of the 11th green at Augusta, get in touch with our socials. Okay. That'd be good. Oh, hang on a second. Talk Birdie to Me hotline. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Marco, Nick. How are you doing? It's Damien here.
Hey, Damo. How are you?
Damien.
Yeah, good, thanks. Look, love the show, first off. Love listening to you guys.
Good on you.
So my question is, so I've always struggled off the tee and missing fairways, and I recently upgraded my driver to the new Ping T430 Max, and I do love it, but I was still tended to be a little bit wayward at times. I swapped out the shaft for the same model in a three-wood shaft, and yeah. I found that it's just really, really straightened me up and really helped me hit fairways. And I was just wondering, is that a common thing to play a shorter shaft in the driver? Oh,
now, Damien, you are talking my language here. Because a lot of the time, for most golfers, I think their driver shaft is actually too long for them. You got players like when Tiger Woods went on the greatest streak of golf we've ever seen. He was using a 43.5-inch driver.
Yeah, I thought it was 43-ish.
Yeah, 43.5-inch. Aaron Bedley, by the way, when he was playing his best golf, he copied Tiger. He had a 43.5-inch driver, which is 3-wood length. You've got people like Sergio Garcia. He's got a 44-inch driver. And more players are using a very, very short shaft when they play this great game of golf when they're talking about the driver. So my driver is under 45 inches long. I think it's 44 and a half. How tall are you, Damien?
172,
5'7". Yeah, okay. So this is going to be an enormous help.
That's
in
perfect
my view.
For you.
Mm-hmm. How long was your driver, mate?
Mine?
Can you remember? Yeah.
I think it's 44 and a half back in the day. So, yeah. But again, I can't remember what the exact measurements were.
Yep. So, just so you know, Damien, finding that sweet spot, I was told a long time ago. So, look, I imagine drivers have changed a lot since. But once upon a time, for every half inch of driver length on, it was only 3 yards off the tee would benefit you.
Really?
But for every quarter inch that you missed the sweet spot, it was 4 yards that it would take off.
Okay.
So a lot of players went to the shorter shaft to find that sweet spot more often. And of course, when you find the sweet spot more often, confidence runs through your veins and more speed comes your way. So I think you've done exactly the right thing, Damien.
Yeah, well done there. And by the way, Damien, where do you play and what's your handicap?
I'm off 14 at the moment. Unfortunately, I don't get out as often as I'd like, but play out east, so at Eastern Yering, Gardner's Run, and sometimes get down the peninsula as well.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
It wouldn't hurt if you took an inch off the driver, a 3-wood as well.
Oh, okay.
And if you got another club, yeah, absolutely. I played a 42-inch 3-wood my entire career, and it was my favourite. It was my fairway finder.
It was.
It was a beautiful club. It didn't matter what happened. That 42-inch 3-wood fairway wood would just find the fairway every time.
See, I had the flip side. I was a very accurate driver, so I was looking for more length. And,
yeah.
And the key with the driver is to, I say to people, make it as long as you can as long as you hit it straight.
Yes.
Or you could go the other way, make it as short as you can as long as you hit it a long way.
That's exactly right.
Depends on which way you want to look at it.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Thanks for that.
You've done the right thing. Put some lead tape on it too.
Yeah, well, hitting more fairways. Well, it's just easier playing from the fairways, what I found.
Oh, hey, for sure.
By the way, just take it into your local pro shop, put it on the swing weight machine, and make sure it weighs at least D or D1 or D2. And if it doesn't, put some lead tape on the bottom, and you'll be fine. It'll go even better.
Thanks, Marco.
No problem. See you later.
Thanks, Damien.
Thanks, guys.
Now, I'm very keen for these tips for the Masters. You guys have been talking about it a lot. You've been sending messages around. Are you going to give us a bit of an insight into who's going to win?
Well, we're going to have three each. We're going to give three tips each. All right. So my first tip is someone who won't win. Scotty Scheffler won't win the Masters.
Okay.
And I'm saying that because I think his putting is ordinary. And I think this is the one place where your putting cannot be ordinary and win. This is the one joint.
Depends on the conditions. It depends on the conditions at this golf course.
Firm.
Yes. It's going to be firm?
It's firm, okay. Yes. A few people have told me already. It is a firm golf course.
So my person who's not going to win will be Rory.
Ooh. Why?
Mainly mental.
Too much
it's
pressure.
It's just in his head. Yes,
to win the
too much to complete, win the Grand Slam to complete it all. Yeah, and too many looks at the targets bothering me.
Yeah, okay.
I keep hounding on it, but anyway.
All right.
So that's my non-not.
That's
to
your
win.
Not. That's your not to win.
Yes.
My winner, Brooks Koepka. I think he's made for this. I think he's in second gear playing in live events, and it'll be just business as usual for Brooks. He's due. Mm-hmm. It'll be his sixth major. If he can win this thing, and he's well on the way to being the player of this generation, if he does,
so he's your bloke to whack $10 on.
He's going to win.
He's your guy.
I think I think he's going to win. Okay.
Okay. Well, for me, it's Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, the bloke I said can't win.
I'm going the opposite. Tee to green, especially if it's firm, that's what's going to count. I think.
All right.
Because two putting from, if it's firm, it's really hard to get it close on these greens. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to have a lot of 20, 30 footers. And as long as your lag putting's good and you take advantage of the par fives, okay, which he always does, I think that's just such a benefit. Now, he's got a wonderful short game. You're right about, you know, the 5, 6, 7 footers, who knows. Yeah. But he's been on a bit of a streak of late. Now, did the missed short putt at the... What was that tournament a couple of weeks ago?
Last week.
Will that have anything on his confidence? I don't think so. I mean, he's number one in the world for a reason. Yeah. You know, he's won two of his last three events. So
I think
all will be good.
The putting honeymoon is over.
Yeah, I know you keep saying that. No.
It is over.
No. And the other thing is he's won before there.
Yeah, that's true.
The one he didn't win, by the way, he came second in, right?
Yes, that's right.
Correct, yeah.
So he's in pretty good form.
And he only had to four-putt the last to win the Masters as well, remember?
that's right. Well, he did hit that miss on the last as well. And my best value, my absolute best value, is Ludvig Åberg. I've been saying it for a long, long time. I think Brooks Koepka is going to win it, but I haven't put any money on because I don't think it's good odds. But I did get a little bit of money on Ludvig Åberg. At $34, he can win this thing. I mean, it's his first ever major. He's won in Europe. He's won in America. He's played very, very well in the Ryder Cup. His game from tee to green just suits this joint like nothing else. And he's a rock solid short putter. I think it's inevitable he will win a major at some point.
Yeah.
Inevitable. Can he win the Masters as his first ever major that he's played in and win? Well, it'd be a big story.
We're going long shot?
Your best long shot.
My best long shot, Sahith Theegala.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. He is a very creative player.
Yep.
Plays a lot by feel. And if, you know, at Augusta National, feel is a very good thing. It's not a scientist's course.
All right, I want to run you through the Aussies.
Okay.
Jason Day got close in 2011. Mm-hmm. Is he trending in the right direction to win this thing? Can he win?
Well, of course he can win. I'm not sure what his form's been like of late, though. He didn't play Texas, did he?
Only just. Just creeping along.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah, he's creeping in the right direction, but just creeping along.
All right.
Cameron Smith.
Oh, yeah. With his putting stroke and his game for sure. But he did pull out of Liv Miami with illness. He had food poisoning. Yeah, so it depends on how he pulls up after that.
Noted. Minwoo Lee.
For sure. Well, actually, he's a good long shot.
He's a good long shot.
He has the length to take the course apart. It really just depends on experience around there and short game for him.
Who else we got playing?
Jasper Stubbs.
Jasper Stubbs.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk to his caddy, Simon Clark, in a bonus pod later in the week.
And we have another player.
Yeah.
Past champion, Adam Scott.
Scotty.
What do you think?
No, Scotty, you'll finish in the top 10 again. He's just, you know, okay. He just cruises around. Oh. And he's, I wonder if he's wearing more than the brown jumper this week. Hopefully you can know, give us a look at the Uniqlo cupboard.
Well, we'll be having tappers, I think, on Tuesday night, the champions' dinner with John Rahm, the defending champion.
So. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Apparently it's pretty nice.
From what I've heard.
Yeah, it looks pretty, good to me.
I haven't had a close look at it.
It looks pretty good.
So let me wrap these tips up to make sure I understand these right.
Right.
Marco, your person who can't win.
It's Scotty Scheffler.
Scheffler. Yep.
Person of note who can't win.
Person of note who can't. Yeah, yeah. Person of note who can't win. Scheffler.
Yep.
Nick, you're saying Rory can't win. Rory. Or not can't win. Yeah, won't win.
But, yeah.
Your tip, who you believe will win or has got a very good chance of winning, is Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka is my favourite.
And ironically, Nick, you think Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler will win.
The dark horses, which are really interesting. Mark has unsurprisingly gone for Aubert.
Yes.
Yes.
And Nick, you've gone for Thagala.
Yes.
And you've got a late addition of Minwoo Lee.
Well, I mean, of the Aussies.
We can both.
Sure.
Throw
yeah,
him.
We can. Yeah.
I think he'll be our leading Aussie.
I think he will be as well.
He'll be our,
he'll be top 10. So this week's Ping Global results, we start on the PGA Tour at the Valero Texas Open. As we saw, crazy, crazy finish. Akshay Bhatia winning his second PGA Tour event at the age of 22. I mean, that's scary how young the guy is. Defeating Denny McCarthy in what was an old school shootout on the back nine. So much fun to watch. McIlroy showed some form. You know, he finished third, but he was 9 shots back finishing third. Okay, on the LPGA Tour, you might have noticed that we didn't speak about her earlier in the pod because we've actually been waiting.
For the result.
For the result.
She's just won. Nearly caught a one.
And they were playing the match play at Shadow Creek.
I love this event.
Yeah, she was going for her fourth win in a row. We spoke last week about Scotty and Nelly trying to win three in a row. Nelly did it. Scotty didn't. And now Nelly was going for four in a row. The match play was a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a crapshoot because you never know what might happen. Now, they changed the format. Did you see what they've done?
Now, was it
the, do you like this?
So, it was it
the two top rounds, top then have a cut.
And only the last round is what you're seated on?
Third round. So, they had three rounds of stroke play. There's a two-round cut, I think. Yeah, there's a two-round cut. Then a third-round cut, top eight.
Yes.
Top eight. Now, Nelly, she was outside and she shot a nice third round 69, kind of in tough conditions to get to sixth or seventh. And then they had a big playoff, four players for that last eighth spot.
Yes.
And anyway, Nelly went all the way through and she beat Leona Maguire in the final 4-3 at Shadow Creek. I actually really like that format.
Oh, it's sensational.
And because it kind of ensures you're going to get those stars at the top. You know, the big concern about the old match play format when I used to play was Tiger could get knocked out first round or whoever, one of the stars.
Yeah.
In this way, you get three rounds out of them, and then usually the cream will rise to the top after three rounds. The current format on the men's side, although they don't have the match play anymore, do they, is the round robin format, which I don't like. I mean,
I'm a big fan.
It's one and done. I mean, you know, you win and you lose and you go home, I say.
But
so.
Then Tiger's there at least days one, two,
well,
three.
Well, I think this could solve the issue. I think the men should look at this format.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I think you're on to something. So what the world match play was always top 64 players in the world, basically.
Yeah.
So you just have them shooting out rounds one, two, and three. Yeah, I really think they should try it because I thought this tournament is a winner.
It was good. Yeah, well, the women, they had a 36-hole cut of top 65 in ties. So they had a 100 and something playing. And then the 54-hole cut was top eight. Yeah. So you had to play well. And the Aussies, unfortunately, Minji Lee just missed out. She was tied 15th. Steph Kuriaka was tied 18th. And Gabby Ruffles was tied 28th. So they didn't make the match play.
And I found myself watching this look at Shadow Creek as well. I think we spoke about this last year. It's one of those tournaments that, in the back of my mind, I'd like to play the golf course that it's played on.
Yeah,
could have heard so much about it.
Very natural setting, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, well, folks, out in the desert.
If you don't know what we're talking about, if you saw it on the TV, it looks like an oasis of purity and specialness. In fact, if you have a look at the Google Earth picture of it, it's in the middle of a desert.
Mm.
It's just incredible. Oh. The amount of money they must have spent. No. No one knows that figure, by the way. I think they're embarrassed about how much they actually spent on it. Nobody wants to talk about how much they spent.
Who knows? Well, maybe they're covering up some bodies that were buried out there a long time ago. Who knows?
took a dark turn.
It did, actually. What was that film that I watched, Casino?
Yeah, oh, that was an interesting what a one. Movie. Oh, goodness me.
All right. On the Live side of things, they were back in action at Live Miami at Trump Doral.
Yep.
It's a good golf course.
Yes.
One of the better Florida courses. Good finish. Remember Craig Parry?
Yep.
Hold out on the final hole.
No Cameron Smith, so whoever won this has got an asterisk next to their name.
Yeah. Taylor Gooch didn't win. So. he had food poisoning, and so the Ripper team became a Australasian team.
Ooh.
By the way, because the New Zealander Ben Campbell came in as a replacement. His first time that he's done that. So
good on him.
Anyway,
that's good.
On the team side of things, Legion 13, not Legion 8. I've got that right for once. They took out the title ahead of the Goat Rangers or the Range Goats and the Stingers. Unfortunately, Team Ripper were down in 10th place, so they didn't have a great week.
How did John Ryan play?
He was tied for fourth with Mark Leishman, who had a very good week for Leish.
Spoke to him last week.
Who, Leish?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He came on 3AW, Ricky.
Oh, fantastic.
Just to have a chat. He sounds up and about. He said his game was in good shape, and off he went and won, did quite well.
Obviously it is. Tied fourth. That'll get him a nice paycheck. But Dean Burmester, he defeated Sergio Garcia on the second playoff hole. So going into Augusta, Sergio's looks like he's in some good form.
Yeah, it's incredible because at the start of the week, before the tournament even started, he was really talking about how well he was playing, Sergio. It was unusual. I hadn't seen that sort of talk from Sergio pre-tournament anywhere in the world. And for him to lose the way he did was pretty exceptional.
Do you want to change your dark horse pick? Or?
No.
Okay. Nope. Going with Åberg.
Nope.
That's not really a dark horse, though. So.
Well, he's never played in the major
before. Get it. Okay. Fair call. on the Corn Ferry Tour, it was another playoff. We had three playoffs this week. Yeah, they're in Savannah, Georgia, where Stephen Fisk, he birdied three of the last four holes to get into a playoff against Rob Oppenheim and defeated him on the first.
Oppenheimer?
Oppenheim. Not Oppenheimer. Right. Okay. Close, yeah.
Right.
Locally, we had the, and this is a bit of a shame, we're at Bonneville on the WAPGA and LET co-sanctioned event. They had the Women's Australian Classic. They had 200 mil of rain in 72 hours.
Ridiculous.
It was unbelievable. And they only got 18 holes in, as it turned out, and there were three tied at 6 under 66. We had Dane's Nicole Brush-Estrup, Taipei's Paying Sai, and Perth Jess Whitting.
So does it count as a win? Do they get prize money? Or
so they get the prize money, but it doesn't count as an official win on the tour or ranking points. Because 18 holes, I don't think they can do it. And it's just such a shame because the ground staff, they were working their butts off to get the golf course in some sort of playable conditions.
Look so, great on the telly.
Yeah, Bonneville's.
Yeah.
Bonneville's the Australian Augusta, they say.
That's what they say.
Mm. It's not I've never been there. So. Yeah.
It's kind of not, but I get why they say it.
Yep. Well, the rain they had was biblical. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And the other, they had an event at Augusta on the weekend, the ANWA, the Augusta National Women's Amateur. What a great event that is.
Yep.
And England's Lottie Woad, a Florida State player. She birdied three of the last four holes.
Get out of here.
For a one-shot win over Bailey Shoemaker, who shot the lowest round in championship history. She shot 6 under 66 in the final round. And Lottie Woad, she held about a 15-footer for birdie on that famous Sunday pin.
Yeah.
Gave her just a gentle fist pump. It was nothing outrageous. It was quite funny, And the other news from the week, 2022 champ, I don't know if you saw this, Anna Davis, she's a left-hander, had a one-shot penalty for slow play, and she missed the cut by one to play at Augusta.
Are you kidding me?
No. And guess what? Last year, she had a four-shot penalty.
For slow play?
No, not for slow play, because they had preferred lies, but she thought it was all over the golf course. She twice picked the ball up in the rough and gave herself preferred lies. Now, you should know that preferred lies are just closely mown surfaces, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it says on the sheet.
For 2 years in a row, she's accumulated five penalty shots, but unfortunately she missed the cut by one. So, and then lastly...
She'll learn, Nick.
She will learn. Lastly, this week we have the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia final stage of Q School. So good luck to all the players down there at Moonah Links.
You were talking about Live before. Probably worth mentioning that the Golf Clearance Outlet have a new members club called GCO Live.
Mm.
Now, if you join that, you get some great benefits. That was fantastic. But one of the benefits you get at the moment, if you join by the weekend, is the chance to play in the Pro-Am at Live Adelaide.
How good is this?
It's pretty cool.
So golfclearanceoutlet.com.au.
Go and register. Cost you $19, all these benefits, but by the weekend, this particular one closes by the weekend, so go and do that.
I wonder if with our listeners we should say, who would you like to play with at the Live Pro-Am?
Ooh,
that'd be an interesting one. Do a little survey, maybe.
Yeah,
top up four names.
Yeah. What name should we
call? Well, you got Smith, Rahm,
Dustin Johnson,
Mickelson.
DJ.
Mickelson.
Yep. Cam. Leishman. Put Smith. Leishman in there.
Boy, we can only have four. That's the Twitter thing.
Cam. You got to put Cam in there.
Yeah, so yep. Cam, Mickelson.
Yep.
DJ. Who else you want?
Rahm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's the big name.
Yeah, of course. Okay, right. We'll put that poll up. We'll give the results next week.
That'll be interesting.
That will be interesting. Got some feedback for you guys.
Oh, here we go.
Now, we've got a lot of feedback on the Australian Open. This one from Dan Treloar, who's got an idea that he wants your view on.
Right.
Hey, Nick and Mark, great pod. On the Australian Open, is it worth the state governments coming together with help from the federal government, creating a kitty and having the Australian Open move around the country? I'd love your thoughts.
Magnificent suggestion. That actually has to happen for the health and ongoing security of the two biggest championships that we have in this country. The Australian Men's Open and the Australian Women's Open. We can't get to this point each year. I'm not suggesting it will, by the way, if you're listening in, Golf Australia. James, if you're listening in, I'm not suggesting it is. But it is uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable feeling that we're in the middle of April and we still don't know what state the Australian Open is going to be played in. That's uncomfortable.
One of my questions to you guys was, you were in the room last week. I was up at my place, and you said next door they
right
were all
there.
In there.
So, Damien de Bowen walked past.
So obviously we haven't heard anything.
No.
Still nothing.
No.
Okay.
No. I spoke to somebody, and that's all I can say.
Well, hang on. Okay. We're not going to just get away with that.
Well, no. What we've been saying is, well, we don't know where it's going to be.
Okay.
That's. I think they know, but they've keeping it on there.
Waiting to announce it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the announcement should be imminent.
Okay.
Okay.
It'll probably drop straight after this pod.
Probably tomorrow.
Probably will.
Tomorrow.
Michael has written in, there's always going to be some compromise and detriment with running an event in the current format. I would like some clarity from those in charge. That'd be nice for us lovers of the game. Mm. The format is great in theory, but it doesn't work.
That's right.
And it's a detriment to the women's event.
It's like communism.
Both need to be standalone events and given their own amount of airtime and publicity. Nick and Mark, your thoughts, please.
I agree with you. I agree. In theory, it sounds great. But the integrity of the tournament, particularly in the middle, it just doesn't work for me. So I wouldn't do it. I think the integrity of both Australian Opens are of utmost importance and outweighs everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my view. Now, there'll be others who sit in the big meetings. They'll have their reasons for doing it the way they are doing it. And I get it. But to me, to have Adam Scott potentially finishing on the ninth green on his 72nd hole last year. Mm. You've got situations where people are on the same score and teeing off 4 hours apart on the last day. Those integrity issues are too big in my view to continue the way it's going.
So standalone, you're agreeing with that?
They should be standalone events, yes.
Yeah, and back-to-back weeks, I think that would be awesome if that could happen as well.
Yes.
Yeah, you said that last week, so it makes sense.
Whether a golf course, it only needs to be one, would give up their course for 2 weeks of the year, that's another thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Marshall said, I wonder if Golf Australia will eventually select one of Marco's top five for the Open that's only seven-ish months away, or will they just plonk it in Sydney just for something different? Bit of sarcasm.
Yeah. Well, so they are trying. I mean, last year the Aussie Open was at Victoria and Kingston Heath.
2 years ago, yeah.
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. 2 years ago it was.
The GTC golfer. What are your thoughts on the bucket hat brigade these days? Surely this is a new fashion trend for the modern golfer.
It's popular and, you know, it's very sun smart. I will say that.
Now, we put a poll up to find out how many aces Talk Birdie to Me listeners have shot in their entire life.
Okay.
And I'll give you the poll results in a moment. I'll give them in a moment. First of all, a couple of comments. Carlos wrote in, I got an ace on the 13th at the old course at the National.
Oh, that's... Which hole is that one?
That's a tough par three. Yeah, that's a good one. Right out in the back corner. It's probably a good five, 4-iron, depending on where the pin is.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that's a great par three, hole in one.
That's a tough par three.
I think the National has photos of everyone who's got a hole in one on a board there, don't they, as well?
I know they've got a list. I'm not sure about photos.
A list of the
gold names. Gold writing.
Yep, nice.
For sure.
David McIntosh wrote in, I've only ever had one on the 14th at Spring Valley Golf Club in Melbourne, 2007.
Oh, that's a long one as well. Tiny. The green's as big as this desk.
Really? Okay.
Great.
Yeah, it's been 30 years since I played there. I can't remember the back nine.
Yeah, it's really good.
Lee has said, I've had three in competition, two of them on the same hole.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
He'd like that hole, I reckon. Sean Walsh has said, Port Ferry, the eighth hole. I was playing the Herald Sun match play about 20 years ago. The hole in one put me five up, but I lost the match on the 17th.
Oh,
the poor guy.
Wow. No.
That is not fun.
That's on my list of courses to play.
Hey, get down there.
Mm.
And but when you're down there, have a look at the land next door because you could build something very special next door.
Okay.
And final one here. This is from Wallace. Hey guys, I got a hole-in-one at Lonsdale Links. After the round, I purchased my playing partner's drinks and went to the pro shop to merch up. The young fella asked, how's the round? I said, yep, great, first time here, blah, blah, blah. Got a hole-in-one, exciting. He said, congrats. He calls the pro over and tells him. The pro says, congrats, what hole? I told him it was the second. He said, oh, yeah, we got a lot on the second. to pull it down a bit.
Make him feel special, dude.
Yeah. Okay, the poll results, though.
Yes, okay.
Talk birdies to me, listeners. How many aces have you shot?
Right.
9.5% have had three or more.
That's pretty good.
Pretty impressive.
They're crazy mean golfers. They're playing a lot.
That is really impressive.
Yeah, they're playing a lot of golf.
Wow.
7% have had two.
Yeah.
Okay.
18% have had one.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
66% have never had one.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great day when it happens, folks.
It is.
You've had like 12 or 13.
I've had 12,
12? Nick?
Three in tournaments. I don't count the other ones.
Okay.
How many?
Probably a few more other than that.
How many do you reckon? And I'm not talking about, like, I don't count the ones you have when you're out walking the course by yourself.
Yeah, okay, right. Probably.
You've got to be playing a match or something.
I'd say seven or eight, maybe.
Yeah, that's good.
Something like that.
I have a theory that I think if you're playing by yourself and you get a hole-in-one, that would be the worst thing in the world.
It's not a hole-in-one.
No.
Our mate Ox.
Yes.
Tell his theory.
He never, ever plays golf by himself in case he has a hole-in-one because he knows the rules. Yeah. And the rules are if you have a hole-in-one playing by yourself, I'm sorry, folks.
Didn't happen.
It's not a hole-in-one. It's quite simple.
So difficult. Yeah.
It's actually a good idea, that is.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, time for the masterclass.
Righto. I've only seen one other left-handed golfer with the long putter, and his name is Akshay Bhatia. I love the way they chip, both of them, because Nick O'Hearn is also a left-handed golfer who used to use the long putter. They were both really, really old school with their chips. Now, one, this isn't for everybody because you kind of need hands of gold to be able to do this, particularly on short couch grass that we have in this country. On rye grass that you play in America, it's much, much easier to do. On kaikui grass, pretty easy to do. But off the tight couch grass that we play off, mainly here in Australia, it's very, very difficult to do. But it's very, very simple, folks. If you want to have a crack at it, you do hit the ball first. And if you can hit the ball first and find the sweet spot, more often than not, you're going to get this beautiful consistency right through your chipping life. But if you can't, it almost costs you shots every time you try and do it.
True.
So it's the old favourite. Weight on the left side. Move the buttons on your shirt past the ball. A little bit of gripping down doesn't hurt you. Put the ball back. And you don't take the club away low. You pick it up just a little bit. Now, whether you pick it up with your body or if you pick it up using your hands, I don't really care. But the main thing is to come down and hit that ball first. You are going to take a divot. And if you take that divot half an inch before you get to the ball, you're going to look really stupid. The ball won't go very far. And for some of you, you might take a divot well behind the ball and you might actually put the divot on top of the ball.
I've seen that before.
I've seen it before too. Hello, Aussie Moore. I was playing with you, Aussie, when you did it.
Oh, no.
Anyway, look, it's experimental And I saw your magnificent masterclass last week.
The one hopper.
The Aussie one hopper.
I was doing it.
You made that shot look magnificent. The camera work was good because you saw it coming up the hill and then fizzing on the green.
Yeah.
Who and was the cameraman?
Camera woman.
Oh, who? Alana.
Alana. And I didn't give her credit, unfortunately. Oh! So. I know, rookie mistake, so apologies to my wife.
Anyway,
she's getting it now anyway.
Like I said, it's not for everybody, but if you feel like you're skilled enough, give it a crack because it's the way I chipped my whole career as well, and it's much, much better for consistency and getting it really, really close. But like I said, if you're not doing much practice, you can look like a fool very quickly.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there, Mark. You got to practice this shot, and you need almost hands of gold, basically, to be able to pull it off consistently. That's the key.
Who was the first hands of gold? Victor Dubuisson, I think, was the first guy they called hands of gold. Yeah, okay. Remember he had that nice little run going there for a while?
He did.
Yeah, he was getting up and down from cactus bushes out the back of... he did well in your tournament as well. I call your tournament the World Match Play. That's your tournament.
Yes, that's he did. He almost beat, was it Casey or Day? I can't remember. But,
Now, stay tuned because the Masters bonus pod with Simon Clark will be coming out a little later this week. In fact, I think we're going to bring it out on Thursday.
Thursday we'll bring it out. So it'll be with Simon Clark, the caddy, but also we're going to do a bit of an analysis of the course as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Which will be fantastic. So that's on Thursday.
Brilliant.
See you, folks.
All right.
Thanks for being part of Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. And if you want to be part of the show, drop us a message or comment on the socials. Or you can send an email or leave a voicemail at talkbirdietome.com.au. Thanks to the great team at Ping, they're the best in the business and they'll help you play your best. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. If you're after top quality at prices you won't beat, check them out. golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media. Sound design, Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
Hey, by the way, Mark and Dan, got my third right-handed score in
the Oh, nice.
This is good.
So I have a right-handed
handicap. No, not Nick, you.
Sorry.
Nico Who.
Nico Who has a right-handed handicap. And this is ridiculous, by the way. This is ridiculous.
You better not say you're off 22 or something.
I've shot scores of 85, 94, 85. What do you think my handicap is?
Well, it should be about 20.
It should be about 16, I would think.
Right.
Yeah. I'm off a 9 handicap. Single figures.
Reputation.
How do they? No.
They know you, they
no,
know
they don't. No, they don't. But they wouldn't know it's me. I mean, surely.
Nico Who?
Yeah.
Mate, you failed to recognise how many people listen to this podcast. They know it's you.
Yeah, but upstairs, surely the handicapping people, it goes on scores. You cannot put in, I can't be a 9 handicapper.
They all listen, mate. They all listen.
They all listen.
They all listen.
Well, I can at least say I'm a single figure handicapper right-handed. So there you go. Because I know I'm going to go out.
That's
so
ridiculous.
I wanted to start on about 16 or 18 and then come down.
A little bit of me does hate you for going down to single figures.
You know what? You're not the only one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.